The Bible Study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary.
Good morning and welcome to Hour 2 of the Bible Study here on listener-supported KFUO Radio. It's the Ask the Pastor Hour. KFUO Radio is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thank you for joining us this morning. Thank you to Pastor Mark Hawkinson for a great hour on the Bible study as we come ever so close to wrapping up 2 Peter, did the first half of Chapter 3. Wrap up the book tomorrow with Pastor Tom Handrick from Emmanuel in Perryville, Missouri. Always fun when Pastor Tom comes around. But in this segment of the program, if you did not get a chance to get in during the Bible study, you have a question about 2 Peter and the text we've talked about or something from one of the previous studies or something you've seen in the news or whatever the case may be, absolutely fair game for any topic you may want to raise with our pastor. Our guest this morning, Pastor Tim Drugemiller from Living Faith Lutheran Church in Cumming, Georgia. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, brother. I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm hanging on with both hands.
I am too, sir.
Hey, I don't know if you saw this in the news. I want to start out with something maybe a little bit odd. I take this out of the folder marked "What were they thinking?" This is Dateline today. I got this off the AP wire, and it's Dateline out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, and it says that Tulsa, Oklahoma is a land of, well, they call it a rich spiritual heritage, and then they go on to cite guys like Kenneth Hagin and Osborne and Oral Roberts University, not necessarily shining examples of great theology, I would think. But here's what's going on. It says Pioneering Ministries, which is one of those organizations based out in Oklahoma, is, they've decided to take a new approach towards reaching the lost. Do you know who they've partnered with?
I have no idea.
They have partnered with a local bar.
Huh.
All right. And it says the pastor and the tavern owner are teaming up to get the gospel outside the church building and into the four walls of, yes, as it says here, yes, a bar. And here's the quote from the pastor. He says, "When the churches and the bars are working together to share Jesus, you know God is going to do something good."
Hmm.
What do you think of that? Speechless.
I actually kind of understand what they're trying to do. Don't you?
Well, I do.
I would step things back just to something maybe a little more basic, and that would be kind of our understanding of vocation, that really Christ is at work wherever the Christian is. So wherever you happen to be, there Christ is, and there his ministry is as we serve in the world. We actually have a few mission congregations around here that started in a bar, but not at happy hour. They would start like in a basement, and on a Sunday morning they'd clean up the whole place and they'd have their worship service in there. But I guess I'd wonder how they were doing it. Was it just people going to the bar, or during the?
It doesn't say in the story. What it says is the pastor of this particular ministry, Pioneering Ministries, former alcoholic, former abuser of drugs, mm-hmm. apparently is compelled to take this message out to the folks that were like him before, you know, he cleaned up his act and got away from those addictions. And what does it say here? The tavern they have associated with is called the Drunk Monkey Tavern.
Wow.
There in Oklahoma. The guy that owns the tavern is a member of the church. Mm-hmm. And it says he believes that people who come to this bar need to hear the pastor's message, the bar owner is saying this, about Jesus, so he's live streaming celebration church services into his bar on a jumbo screen.
Ah, okay. Well, that kind of answers it.
Yeah.
They stream the services into the bar.
Yeah.
Well, I would say that that's a good attempt.
Well, if you, but Pastor, if you've got someone who is, you know, addicted to alcohol or addicted to drugs or something like that, or is in a lifestyle that's not exactly the best for them, how do you, I mean, what do you, how do you do this? Now, this is where the craftsmanship of a pastor is really well explained by you. What do you do? Do you pummel them with the law? Do you assume that because of their lifestyle, they already know the law? So you hit the, I mean, how do you handle that? What is the best and most appropriate way to deal with law and gospel in a situation like that?
Well, I do think that people try to drown out their problems for a number of different reasons. And probably one of the greatest examples is Jonah in chapter 1 of Jonah, where he's given a word from the Lord. He's supposed to go to Nineveh. He doesn't like those people. No one likes those people. And so his response isn't, it's so unique to Scripture. It's just silence. He just goes away from the Lord, and he tries to, the Hebrew word is yirad, yirad. He just keeps going down, 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 down. And he ends up in the bottom of that ship with that awful, awful storm going on. And even the pagan captain comes down and says, "Oh, what do you mean, old sleeper? Get up. Call out to your God. You know, maybe you're the problem here."
Yeah.
So Jonah is running from not really the God who created the heavens and the earth. He's fleeing his spiritual presence, the word and the sacraments, where God promises to be, the God who speaks. And so there's a lot of ways that we run from God's actual presence, his word from Zion, where he promises to put his name. And so we drown our problems out with, or our refusal of him, through drugs, through alcohol, through sleep, through a job, through a spouse, through a relationship, through some sort of a pleasure. So there is generally a vacuum, but I've seen that you kind of really have to listen first and get to know the person first, and it's not going to be a quick fix. Because really they're in that problem because of quick fixes. And so patiently listening, then you start applying law and gospel to everything you hear.
But, well, do you have to break your addiction before you can be considered a redeemed child of Christ?
No. Every day when I get out of bed in the morning, I make the sign of the Holy Cross and say, "In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, I remember that I'm God's baptized child." And I confess the creed and I pray the Lord's Prayer because I'm a sin addict. I know that according to my old nature, if I'm allowed to go to work, I'm going to mess it all up. So Christ, while we were yet sinners, died for us. So while we were yet addicts, while we were yet adulterers, lawbreakers, Christ died for us. So a lot of people kind of put the cart before the horse, I would say, and say, once you do such and such, then Christ will accept you. The gospel is profoundly different.
And if I succumb to that addiction again, whether it's, you know, drinking or drugs or inappropriate relationships or, well, you know, name your vice.
Right.
Is that any kind of an indicator that, maybe this forgiveness of Christ didn't take? Maybe I need to clean up my act and demonstrate that I want to be saved before Christ will save me?
Well, I think in terms of law and gospel, you know, we have the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other God.
Right.
You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. All the way through the Tenth Commandment. What is God really trying to do? I mean, he's not trying to ruin our fun. Get rid of your least favorite commandment, right? Let's just throw the eighth out. Okay, everybody can lie now. How's that good for us? But yet, in our spiritual blindness, we think God's out to get us. And we also see when the law shows up that not only are we just barely missing the mark, all of righteousness is like filthy rags, Isaiah 64.
Not only can we not hit the target, we can't even see where it is.
Exactly. We can't can't even put an arrow on the bow.
Yeah.
But the greatness is Christ, our Lord, who comes in to the pages of the Gospels and fulfills the entire first and second table. Loves the Lord, his Father, with all his heart, soul, and mind, in our place, and loves neighbor as himself in our place, dies for us and rises again, so that we can be his people. On Pentecost, he pours down his Holy Spirit on his chosen disciples. People are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and their benefit from that baptism isn't to just get their adoption papers and then run off and say, okay, good, we got that done, now I can live any way I want to. No, it's to actually be in the family, to live as his child, live in his kingdom, serve him in righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. So God's actually trying to do us a favor, just like our worship service is a divine service. God's trying to bless us. So that's kind of how Lutherans take an understanding of the new life. We don't keep on hitting people over the head with the law, because that doesn't properly motivate them. Only the gospel does.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Apparently this has sparked some interest, Pastor. Let's go to some of our phone callers. Phil, good morning. You're up first with Pastor Greg Miller.
Good morning. When you mentioned that the bar with services in it, I know of one that we have here locally. It's just on North Broadway, and it's a guy named Shady Jack, and it's a biker bar, and I've met him a few times, and he's the real deal. He's definitely a biker, and I don't know if he attends the services, but he allows services to be held. A minister said that he just felt called to do it, and I read about it in a just a small magazine, and he has services there. He's been doing it for a long time.
So this is kind of like his vocation, how he serves the Lord and tries to witness to the gospel through his business, or by just allowing someone to preach.
He allows somebody to do that, and because as far as I know, he hasn't made any claims of being a Christian. I mean, I don't know for sure, but I know he was in a club.
What's kind of the media? Is it through TV, or is it through radio?
I guess it's just through just word of mouth. As far as I heard about it through just it's a motorcycle magazine, and I seen the ad in there that this man holds services there, and he just I guess they quoted him, said he just felt like he should go to the motorcycle people, and and like I say, I'm not sure how many members are there or anything, but he holds services there every Sunday for a couple years now.
Cool.
I wonder, guys, do you think that's a...
During the, go ahead, Roland.
I was going to say, do you think that's a good thing? Because, we can look at it from a position of high church and institutional church, but if you look at it from a little bit different perspective, if you're familiar with the biker culture, if you've ever seen them driving down the highway or whatever,
right.
if you're in a nice, quiet sort of... pastoral little church, maybe even like Living Faith, and all of a sudden a couple of guys walk in with the leathers and the tattoos, you think they're going to feel welcome? Do you think the congregation make them feel welcome?
At our church they will.
All right. You want to give out the address for all the bikers who are...
Well, it's Shady Jack's, and it's just right on North Broadway, almost across the street from the football stadium.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
I'll say this, if what's going on in there, the gospel of Christ Jesus and Him crucified is being proclaimed, and the sacraments are rightly believed and administered, there is a good place to look for church. To look for church.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, brother.
Thank you, Phil. Good to hear from you. Well, I guess if Christ could preach to the prisoners in hell, maybe a bar is a good place to proclaim that as well, do you think?
What did Christ proclaim there? Right.
Yeah, it's that the resurrection had come to pass, that God's word was fulfilled, and
right.
Remarkable. Let's continue on with this. We've got Jim who's waiting to get on next. Jim, good morning. Thanks for the call.
Hey, Brother Roland. How How you doing?
I am well, sir. How are you?
You don't mind if I be a stick in the mud, do you?
No. we welcome all here, even bikers and sticks in the mud. No problem.
Okay. Habakkuk, second chapter, 15th verse, and it explains in the 16th verse why. Woe to drunkards' reason. Woe to him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth the bottle to him, and makes him drunk, also that he may look on their nakedness. Thou feel shame for glory, drink. For glory, drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be out of thy glory. Number one is, now we're talking about strong drink, and if you'll notice in Paul's writing, this goes over into the New Testament. In Paul's writing, whenever he talks about drunkenness, he usually says wine and strong drink. So there must be some form of a difference there. And in the Old Testament, when it talks about wine and strong drink in Deuteronomy and so forth and on. Now, this is not law. This is brought over into the New Testament under the New Covenant. And if I was going to give anybody advice, being kind of a drunkard before I was saved, I would say like Solomon, stay away from it because it'll kill you. It'll cause you to be damned if you don't. And this man here, he may claim to be a Christian. He may be a Christian. I don't know. But the thing about it is he's already got one woe against him. And you can translate this down into a curse if you want to. What do you say?
Well, brother, thank you for pulling that one out, because Habakkuk 2, I'm looking at it, and, you know, just like you read, it says, woe to him who gives drink to his neighbors, pouring it from the wineskin till they are drunk. So if the intent is to pour any libation out in order to make others drunk, obviously we know from the entire Old Testament and New Testament, drunkenness is against the will of God, right?
Yes, it is.
So okay, basically, go ahead. Go ahead. Is he still there?
I think Jim must have dropped out. Thanks for the call, Jim.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Picking up on his thought, it is, again, what causes someone to not be saved? Is it drunkenness? Is it playing cards? Is it any other sort of an activity? Well, what causes someone to not be saved is refusing the heart of the gospel that is the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. A person is saved when they believe in the gospel, when they believe that Christ himself came to live and die for sinners and to be raised for our justification. So as his children, you know, we're not going to go out and try to get drunk. We want to live as his people. And I think it would be a problem for somebody who's a Christian who continues to engage in any sort of behavior that the Word of God tells us is wrong.
Well, I guess the point also to be made here, Pastor, is that the church is not buying anyone drinks. They're simply using that as a venue by way of TV broadcast to put their service in that bar.
Right, right.
Yeah.
By the way, 1 Corinthians 6, 9, verse 11 is amazing. It says, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? By the way, to inherit something, somebody has to just basically die and give it to you because they want to. It's grace, right?
Right, right.
Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards. There's drunkards again. Nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Well, that hit every single one of us right there, didn't it?
It sure did, yeah.
And that is what some of you were, specifically, Paul says. But you were washed. you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. In other words, you are no longer those people because you were baptized. You're buried and raised with the living Lord Jesus Christ. So who you were no longer exists. You are completely and utterly different. So live that way.
Let's grab another phone caller before we have to go to the break. We've got about 2 minutes, David. What's your question? Good morning.
Okay, I'll just make my comment. I agree with Jim. If they're using the building just for a meeting place, that's one thing. But if they're going to church and drinking, that's another. And I had an old preacher friend of mine say one time, play on words here, he goes, he was preaching a sermon on drinking, and he said, can you be a little pregnant? Well, the answer is no. You're pregnant. You can be drunk on one beer. And I don't think the church needs to use the world's ways to try to save sinners. You know, the Bible says to abstain from every appearance of evil. We don't need to take the world system to try to convert people. And if they're doing that, it's like a seeker-friendly church. Find something that turns people on, whether it's a stage show or at a bar. And that's my opinion, but can you be a little pregnant? No. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks, David. Pastor, you got about a minute, then we got a break to go to.
All right. Well, Roland, just to double-check for all our listeners, we do not have people coming to church to get drunk. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And that's not the situation. Obviously, that would be situation that Paul would talk about in 1 Corinthians. Now, I'm going to have to vacate the nursery here. I had to make a pit stop. I taught 2 Bible studies this morning, and now I'm here, and I'm in Grace Lutheran in Atlanta, and I'm in the nursery, and we've got an occupier coming in, so I'm going to slide out here.
Well, that's good timing award, because you got 30 seconds to the break, and then you can find a nice quiet place to hold up for the rest of the program.
There we go. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess the question is, you know, if the church is there and the folks are drinking and carrying on like you normally do in a bar, and they're playing the service in the background, but from what I can gather from the story is they're not going to have regular bar operations or simply using it as a venue to telecast into that place on the jumbo screen the worship service.
Right. So, you know, the use of alcohol, by the way, you know, obviously is not forbidden. Jesus turned water into wine. He's given us his own body and blood to eat and drink under. But we are gifts of God. We should not miss you.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It's the Ask the Pastor Hour. Lots more to come. You can join us. We'll be right back after these few short messages.
Dr. C.F.W. Walther once told his seminary students, "I wish to talk the Christian doctrine into your very heart, enabling you to come forward as living witnesses with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I do not want you to be standing in your pulpits like lifeless statues, but to speak with confidence and cheerful courage." Today, Concordia Seminary still strives to do just that.
Giving back to the communities we serve is something we take pride in at Thriving Financial for Lutherans. It's part of who we are and what we believe in as a Fortune 500 member-owned financial service organization. That's why we're proud to serve the St. Louis area and those who live here. Hi, I'm Ida Jefferson, your North County Thriving Financial representative. Call me at 524-1151. Again, 524-1151.
There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. There you have it, my friends. Jesus alone can save. Anybody else who makes such a claim is nothing more than a counterfeit. And as we have seen, counterfeits aren't worth very much, and they are almost always a great, great disappointment.
Pastor Ken Klaus, this week on The Lutheran Hour.
Sundays at 12:30 and 5 p.m. on KFUO Radio.
Hi,
I'm Gary Duncan, Director of Operations for listener-supported KFUO. Now that Share-a-thon 2012 is over, I want to express my heartfelt thank you to all of you who helped us this year. Thank you for your prayers, and thank you for your financial support as we exceeded our $100,000 goal. God bless you for your faithfulness to the worldwide ministry of KFUO, heard locally in St. Louis at 8:50 a.m. and around the world at kfuo.org.
A federal judge has approved a land swap to settle a lawsuit over a remote site in the Mojave National Preserve where war memorial crosses have been erected for decades. Liberty Institute President Kelly Shackelford says,
"We've got now a step closer to, I think, what will be a great victory for our veterans."
The settlement announced Tuesday calls for the site to be turned over to a Veterans of Foreign Wars post in Barstow, California, in exchange for 5 acres of donated land. The National Park Service said it hopes to complete the land swap by year's end, allowing the VFW to once more erect a cross on the site.
"It's just a matter now of getting the land transferred, and as soon as that happens, the veterans are going to put that memorial back up as it has been since 1934.
The most recent permanent cross was stolen in 2010, and a replacement was removed to comply with a court injunction. The land swap was ordered by Congress in 2003, but legal action challenging the cross intervened for years. I'm Steve Coleman.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The Komen Foundation made headlines with an announcement it would stop funding Planned Parenthood. To say it's been an emotional roller coaster is an understatement. First, there was the jubilation this preeminent organization protecting women's health would stop funding the largest chain of abortion mills in the nation. Then, a few days later, it appeared Komen had caved into Planned Parenthood's mafia-style shakedown. I and other pro-life leaders held our fire, and we waited for more of the story to unfold. Well, it has, and I'm saddened to report Komen has gone back to fully funding this giant in the abortion industry. It is with renewed passion and purpose I ask you not to give money to Komen. Please tell everyone you know not to support Komen or participate in their events.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Good morning and welcome back to the Ask the Pastor portion of our Bible study here on listener-supported KFUO Radio. Tim Dragomiller from Living Faith Lutheran Church in Cumming, Georgia, our guest this morning. Well, now that you've been shooed away from the nursery, have you found a nice quiet spot to hold up?
I actually have. It's the room right next to it.
Isn't it terrible when the crumb crunchers come in and just run you off?
Oh, I'm used to it. We got 5 boys at home and I love it, so...
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You know, and I thought that little story there was just going to be kind of a throwaway, kind of an oddity of what's going on in the church today. And that generated quite a bit of conversation, good conversation, too. We'll move on to some other things, but we've got another caller waiting for you, Pastor. You ready to go?
Let's go.
All right. Now, here's somebody, again, the phone service in Georgia must be terrible because everybody keeps calling St. Louis to talk to other folks down there in the sort of Atlanta, Georgia. Jan, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Roland. Good morning, Pastor.
Jan, are you the volleyball player I talked to?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Lord bless you, ma'am.
Yeah. Well,
we were at
you
the last
too.
Convocation, our circuit convocation together.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wasn't that wonderful?
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, whenever two Georgians gather together, you have to mention a third, and that's Dr. Victor Belton.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that dude. He's wonderful. You know, a prayer warrior, and he's just got a sense of humor. There's nothing dour about his faith. And and one of the reasons I was calling was, you know, we have, God is a God of order and balance. We don't want to fall off the cart on either side, I'm thinking. So, Pastor, if you could compare and contrast two passages for me.
Mm-hmm.
They are Romans 14, verse 4, and 1 Peter 2:16.
Mm.
You know, there's freedom in Christ. But 1 Peter 2:16 makes the point that we live as people who are free, not our freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. So there's, you're not going to hell if you have a beer. But you don't want to send a weak brother in Christ to hell because you have a beer. So, and you know, I've been to so many functions. One of the things about Lutheran Church Missouri Synod during Prohibition, we maintained our bread and wine for
communion. Mm-hmm.
You have to apply the right stand. Jesus said, don't judge by appearances, but righteous judgment. So you have to apply the right standard to the right activity.
How about that? Well said, and that is a rightly divided word, by the way. You know, and I think that's a perfect passage. 1 Peter 2:16 you brought up, and it's really kind of building on Christ's own exhortation about John the Baptist, where he says, John came neither eating nor drinking. In Matthew 11, they say he has a demon. Son of Man came eating and drinking. They say, here's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Jesus' words, but wisdom is proved right by her actions. Why do you do what you do?
Yeah.
Is it for the sake of the gospel? Is it for the sake of your brother? Or is it all about what you can get for yourself? So we're not using our freedom as a cover-up for evil, trying to break back into prison, but we're living as those set free by the gospel. That's fantastic.
There's one other aside. Recently, Pastor has given us some Bible studies from Concordia in the Word, and Doctors Gibbs and Chloa conducted a study of 1 Corinthians 15, and Dr. Gibbs gives the perspective that he's from Colorado and he's a mountain climber, and there's a false summit that, you know, as you're on your ascent, it gives you the opportunity to rest and refresh, but it isn't the summit. And he observes that maybe a lot of Christians have settled for that false summit where we're going to heaven. When Jesus' great commission is, go ye therefore and teach all nations.
Right.
And thanks so much. It was wonderful talking to you. It's
good to talk to you too. I'm in your house at Grace Lutheran in Midtown here. This is your house, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll tell Pastor Fields hello, and I'll let him know that you shone brightly today. All right.
Oh, I love that dude. And talk about some crumb snatchers. He's got them from 10 to 4, and all of them are sweeties. Oh, yeah. Well, thanks again.
Thank you, Jen. Good to hear from you. Have a great day. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. If you want to get in by way of email, that's available to you as well. Well, Pastor, what I've got is, I sent you a couple of emails. I don't know if you managed to get them or not.
I'm away from email,
okay.
So I have no idea.
Well, then I'm going to catch you cold with this, but, speaking of running from God's presence, you mentioned that just a moment ago, we tend, when we run from God's presence in this day and age, at least in this culture, to run to the land of tolerance, of not questioning anybody. And then Jan brought up the point about righteous judgment. Now, we're not called to judge the heart, but we are called to judge the fruit, and part of what the fruit may be is what somebody, says they believe, what they believe, teach, and confess, and what they expose as their version of Christ. This guy sometimes can be kind of an easy target, but the problem is he keeps popping up on major national media over again and over again and over again. And the problem is what he represents, well, maybe a questionable Christ, perhaps a Christ that you and I and most of our listeners don't recognize. And I'm talking about Joel Osteen. He was on CNN the other night. Got a little bit of audio here because, you know, this is the political season, and the subject that will not go away is, you know, will Christians, I think more specifically they say, will evangelicals be able to vote for a Mormon? Listen to how Pastor Osteen handles this, and give me your comment on it.
Okay. And says, Joel, I really want to vote for Romney, but I'm concerned because he's a Mormon. I'm not sure he's a Christian. What do you say to that congregant?
Well, my personal view, Wolf, is that when I hear Mitt Romney say that he believes that Jesus is the Son of God, that he's the Christ raised from the dead, that he's his Savior, that's good enough for me. And I would encourage them in the same way. Is, you know what, we don't all have the same views, and I realize Mormonism is not traditional Christianity, but I'm probably a little broader and more open in the fact that when somebody loves Jesus and believes they're the Son of God, that's good for me.
Another congregant comes to you, hypothetically, and may have happened, and says, you know, I really want to reelect President Obama, but I've heard he's a Muslim. And in fact, in that Pew survey that came out not that long ago, 18% of folks say he's really a Muslim. What do you say to that congregant?
Well, I would tell them that I've been with the president at the Easter breakfasts, not 5 feet away from him, heard him talk about his faith, talk about redemption, talk about salvation, and, you know, I just believe in all my heart that he's a Christian. He says he is. Again, I wouldn't try to push people away. I mean, if that's just the opposite of what we're supposed to do. And so I would encourage him in that. I know there's a lot of media that says that maybe he's not a lot of talk and things, but I don't believe that. Of course, my personality is I give people the benefit of the doubt. You don't have to prove to me that you are. Just if you say you are and from the sincerity of your heart, then I believe you are.
And if he's not a Christian, let's say someone is a Muslim, someone's a Hindu, someone's Jewish. Do you have a problem with someone who is not a Christian being president of the United States?
I wouldn't have a problem with it because I love all people. I think in the United States it would be a long time before we would elect somebody, you know, maybe a Muslim or a Hindu or something, just because I think still 90% of us are Christians. But, I've spent a lot of time in India with my father. The Hindus are some of the nicest people you'll ever meet. And so, again, I'm not trying to, you know, push people down and see them as second class because they're not of my faith. I think when we're electing the president, we're looking at their values, their leadership ability, and their faith is a big part as well.
Well, Pastor, what say you? Do nice people go to hell?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. That doesn't make me happy. Doesn't make us happy. Nice people go to hell. Good people go to hell. I would go to hell if it were not for the atoning blood of Jesus Christ on a cross for me. If it were not for his righteousness, if it were not for his work, I would go to hell.
Well, it seems that Joel Osteen's rubric is simply this. Just simply say the name, and you're a Christian. Is there more to it than that?
Yeah, there's a whole lot more to it than that. Of course, we know the Mormons say the same words. They use the same words. They say Jesus, Son of God, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He's our Savior. But they do not mean the same things. There's a very good little article in Last Higher Things magazine that Pastor, I think, Brent Kuhlman wrote on the Mormons. And it's very helpful. I would suggest anybody listening just go to it. I mean, it's a low-hanging curveball. You know, they do not believe in the Holy Trinity, that Christ's sacrifice on the cross is all sufficient for salvation. They don't believe there was any church after the apostles, that it just disappeared, it's off the map. There was no holy Christian church ever until Joseph Smith got his tablets and got things going again. And should we be surprised at the way false gospels are proclaimed? No, of course not. It'll happen to the end of time. This is what the Apostle Paul says, I'm so astonished, Galatians 1, that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, even if we should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than Christ Jesus and him crucified, the one which you believed, let him be eternally condemned. That sounds pretty serious. So, of course, there are going to be false gospels. This is where, you know, there's a difference between church and there's a difference between government. They're to be distinct. And no one has taught us more about this than our own synodical President Harrison before the U.S. Senate House Committee. That was an amazing clip. Just the way he stayed out of the political sniper's way and navigated that conversation and boldly witnessed to how God operates in the world. Fantastic. You've seen that, those clips, right?
Well, but from President Harrison, yes.
Oh, my goodness. It's amazing. Yeah. And so we're putting this conversation in. For Osteen, I mean, we know they're coming kind of from a different angle, of course.
Yeah, I mean, when I bring up Osteen, I mean, it kind of feels like beating up the fat kid. You know, just such an easy target. But we have to talk about this because, you know, other than KFUO, I don't hear you on a national stage. And it's rare that we even see Pastor Harrison on a national stage. That was a rare occurrence that you had a clear proclamation of the gospel.
It was
a clear distinction between the two kingdoms, left and right. But we don't get that. Every time, you know, they want to have somebody kind of kitschy and cool to represent the church, who do they call? They either call Joel Osteen or the other guy from out in California. His name escapes me at the moment. But you know, should I bother with this, Pastor? I mean, am I beating a dead horse here, or is this a topic worthy of discussing? Because, you know, if you get Christ wrong, what do you get in the end?
Everything wrong. Everything wrong. I mean, you're not beating a dead horse for no reason. I mean, this is crucial. This is everything. Getting righteousness through Christ right is everything. Everything else is a waste of time if we do not get justification by grace through faith right. So, you know, Revelation, I think it's 14, talks about the false church. Revelation 13, the beast out of the earth. It looks like a lamb, but it speaks like a dragon. Well, this is what's coming up. We have Babylon all around us. It looks good. It looks like a church. But the message of Christ Jesus and him crucified is not found in it. Sacraments are no longer there. And so people say, hey, you know, they got God too. It's fine. But people can go to hell happy and confident in their own works, in themselves, in another gospel. And that is a huge concern for us. There's only one antidote that saves, and it is the work of Jesus on a cross.
And the Christ exposed through Scripture, not through the Book of Mormon, not through some divination, not through some fancy construction of logic and rhetoric, but there is only one Christ. And it seems to me, he, when he speaks of himself, is absolutely affirmed that there's only one of him.
I can hear a quote of Dr. Norman Nagel. Which Jesus is your Jesus?
Yeah. Well, if you pronounce it like you spell G-sauce, you know, I don't know. Some of those guys on TV do it that way. Let's bring Larry into this. Larry wants to add to the conversation. Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning there, Pastor.
You
know, the Son of God said, many will come in my name proclaiming me, but beware because they're false prophets. Now, I want to touch on two things. Is Joel Osteen an ecumenist, a universalist, or a syncretist, or do you check D, all of the above?
Well, as a Lutheran pastor, he's probably going to check D, I would think. That's the usual answer.
I would check D. I would check D, and I'm a layman. But I want to get back to an earlier caller that talked about the law and the gospel. I think there was a great opportunity there that was passed up, Pastor.
Hit it out of the park.
Pardon?
Hit it out of the park.
It's teed up for you, Larry. Go ahead. Smack
well,
it.
You know, the law is not done away with. The law is no different in the Old Testament than it is in the New Testament. We're saved by grace. We don't live under the law. But for someone to say, you know, this drinking is a woe or that, that's, you know, drinking to excess can be a sin. I've been there, I know. But to say someone is gonna go to hell for drinking a few beers, I think Walther and his theses, the proper distinguishment between law and gospel could be rendered here. I think a good explanation, because we have a lot of people that call this radio station that are of the Reformed bent, and they don't understand the Lutheran teaching of law and gospel, I think would be worthy of some comments, maybe a whole show dedicated to this subject, there, Roland.
How about a whole life dedicated to law and gospel?
Yeah, well, you know, I'll just simply point out to you, Larry, if you go back into the archives of Studio A, especially when the new Reader's Edition of Law and Gospel came out, I think I spent about 6 weeks doing programs on that.
Okay.
Taking each thesis, all 25 of them, one at a time.
Because I feel that particular caller has a definite confusion, and when it's not straightened out immediately, others kind of think that this kind of teaching's okay. And you know what? It's not only it's not Lutheran, it's not biblical. It's not the proper plumb line, if you want to use that terminology, between the law and the gospel. Do you agree, Pastor?
I totally agree. And, you know, you're hitting that specifically. Yeah, for someone to say that any particular activity, whether it's drunkenness or anything, is the thing that lands you in hell. Well, our simple nature, all it's capable of is those activities. It's resistance of the Holy Spirit, resistance of the gospel, and not believing in justification, the justification that Christ has provided that lands us in hell, not on an activity that we do or don't do.
Larry, thanks for the call. I wanted to move on because we've got another caller who's waiting. It's our good friend Pastor Nabil Noor from Armour, South Dakota. Boy, listen to that reaction.
Morning, brothers. Top of the morning. Christ is risen again.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just a quick comment. I already got my sermon done for Sunday, and the title of my sermon is Are You Serious? Based on Acts chapter 4, verse 12, which talks about there is no salvation apart from Jesus Christ. And in my homily, I talk about how around the community of this, our world right now, with the politicians, everyone is apologizing about what they have said. Even yesterday. Everyone is apologizing, and there is a comment right out of my mouth from the as I preach. I say, there will be no apologies today from this pulpit. I will not apologize to say there's only way that leads to heaven, that is through Jesus Christ. I don't care what it is that you teach. I don't care what your church denomination is. If you are not teaching this truth, you are a liar. You are a deceiver. And you are sending people to hell. There is only one way. Jesus said it. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Amen.
And please forgive me for being so excited, because this is so dear and near to my heart. When we think of people where Jesus says they will go to hell, and we just water the gospel. We cannot subtract from the gospel, from the law. We cannot subtract from the comforting gospel. We can neither do those. We have to say the law in its severity and the gospel in its sweetness.
Amen, and no apology needed, brother.
Thank you. I will not apologize. Trust me.
Thank you. Amen. All the best.
God's blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Yeah, that's and that really is, you know, the sort of the reason I bring these things up, Pastor, is because when we are commended to love our neighbor, loving our neighbor doesn't mean tolerating, you know, the false Christ they may hold. I think we have a call as individuals and as part of the radio program here, you and your ministry, Pastor Neuer and his ministry, Larry, the other callers that are out there, to proclaim the true Christ, so that, because much like it said in 2 Peter as we cover today, God does not prefer anyone to suffer the damnation of hell. That is not his pleasure. You know, and neither should we. I mean, we can look at Mitt Romney and go, fine, he'll get what he deserves, but that's not what we're called to do, is it?
Yeah, we preach law, like Pastor Neuer was saying, and it's all severity, and the gospel in all sweetness, and they are words of death and life, and there is no other gospel than Christ Jesus and Him crucified for sinners. And I can hear President Harrison's voice thunder like St. Paul before King Agrippa or Festus or something. Mm. I am here to declare with the apostles that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. For that to be said, oh man, that was a fantastic moment.
Did you notice how that...
He seized it.
Did you notice, though, how that particular moment didn't make the national news clips?
No, it didn't, but...
Wonder why.
Whew, man. A prophet was heard in Israel.
There you go. Hey, we have just a few seconds left here, Pastor Droger Miller. What's going on at Living Faith these days?
We've got all sorts of different things going on. We've got a mission north of us, St. Peter Lutheran Church, Dahlonega, came forth out of Living Faith, and now this fall, St. John the Apostle coming out to the east of us, Gwinnett, and our vicar, who will soon be ordained, will be heading that mission up. His name's Aaron Sims. Keep him in your prayers.
We shall.
And we've got Pastor Kim, who does the Korean service, and oversees that flock, and he has Pastor Lee with him, and so we have all these
branches. A lot of things going on. Yeah.
All these things going on. So pray
for
us.
We shall. Pastor Tim Droger-Miller from Living Faith Lutheran Church in Cumming, Georgia. Thanks for your time, my friend. Love spending the hour with you.
Thank you, my brother. Lord
listen,
be with you.
Monday through Friday at this same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download programs from the Bible Study Archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis.
The Apostle John once wrote, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson. What a tremendous assurance you have today in knowing you have everlasting life for sure through faith in Jesus Christ. Coming up on Moments of Assurance this Sunday, I'm going to be talking about that certainty. I invite you to join me as Moments of Assurance Sunday at 9:15 a.m. right here on listener-supported KFUO Radio.
The Lutheran doctrine of vocation is foundational to the variety of topics on the weekend Studio A program. Heard Saturdays from 1 to 3 Central Time, we discuss everything from theology and culture, history, politics, service, and current affairs, and how we as Christians are called not only to live in, but to be an influence upon this world. That's the Studio A program, Saturdays from 1 to 3 Central, right here on KFUO Radio.
We are where you are. KFUO Radio, Clayton, St. Louis. KFUO HD, streaming live at KFUO.org.
AP Radio News. I'm Rita Foley. We'll start with Arizona's controversial immigration law, part of which requires police officers to check the status of anyone they suspect may be here illegally.
It looks as if the Supreme Court will allow Arizona to enforce that part of the law. Paul Clement argued the case for Arizona, telling reporters,
"The principal provision of the Arizona law that was discussed today really just puts the federal officials in the position to know who they have in the country and then decide for themselves what to do as a matter of federal law."
Chief Justice Roberts said it appears the federal government doesn't want to know who's here illegally. Justice Sotomayor told the government's lawyer that its position was not, quote, selling very well. Washington argued that Arizona was exceeding its authority with this bill. Governor Jan Brewer says this is not about racial profiling.
Racial profiling is wrong. It's against the law. We amended it to make sure that that wouldn't happen.
We expect a decision from the Supreme Court in June. Time to kiss and make up for Newt Gingrich.
I am committed to this party. I am committed to defeating Obama. We will find ways to try to be helpful. I do think it's pretty clear that Governor Romney is ultimately going to be the nominee.
Newt Gingrich shutting down his run for the Republican presidential nomination, we are learning. The official word will come next Tuesday. The job market's looking a little better, says the Federal Reserve, but it points out unemployment is still higher than we'd all like. The housing market's improved slightly, but it's still depressed. And then there's this. Inflation's ticked up, though the Fed thinks that's temporary. So how many Secret Service agents are misbehaving? Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano says the group who cavorted with prostitutes in Colombia appear to be just one crate of bad apples.
The conduct was unacceptable. It was unprofessional.
This is AP Radio News.